Chapter 9. Comeuppance. In the early evening after the senpai incident, two instructors met at the school gates and began walking in companionable silence, drawn together by the exhausting events of the day for a little solidarity. Usually they staggered their routes to allay staff suspicion, but surely a few shared at-home grading sessions a month wouldn't be enough to spark rumors. At the moment, Aizawa was also prepared to growl in the face of anybody who said anything to him, truth or slander. It had been a long day, preempted by an incredibly long and brainwashy morning, and he was done. He would be long past done, however, if it weren't for his co-workers and friends. Little did he know that Toshinori had waited no longer than first period to rope Hizashi and Nemuri into the "Everybody Stop Eraserhead from Being a Nasty Smoke Mouth Again" club. And they responded by very enthusiastically taking things off Aizawa's hands and freeing him up so he could balance his shit. Aizawa didn't even pretend to consider before relenting. He gave over school trips, grading, hero paperwork, anything the two would take, in an instant. Then there was Toshi, bringing him food from the cafeteria. And when he wasn't bringing him food, he was asking him what food he liked, as if a perfect menu would stop him from smoking. He was suspicious, of course, and a little annoyed, but Aizawa simply didn't have the time to accuse his personal goon squad of conspiracy. Things were going smoother, even within a day, and that was all that mattered. To have everyone rally around him, with a fumbling personal chef at his elbow, it was... Aizawa didn't have a word for what it was yet, because it was inexorably tangled in his task of training the kid. And that was all he could zero in on. He also wasn't pressed to find a word for it because it was working. And that was what mattered. And he learned long ago that giving things names gives them power. For that moment, he and Toshinori were walking to his place, and he had vague ideas of how he planned to thank the older hero for his culinary service, if nothing else. Nice plans. They rounded the corner, and Aizawa stopped mid-complaint about something or other. Crouched on a low concrete wall, Shinso Hitoshi was leaning forward to pet a local cat sprawled on his back, shamelessly baring his tender sakura pink belly to catch the last of the spring sunlight. Lazy reverie broken by little more than a shift in the air, the white short hair instantly leapt upright and bolted when the two locked eyes, and Shinso nearly fell from the wall with a scrape of his shoes, gasping. "Shit," Aizawa said immediately, unable to help himself. Toshinori looked down at him, concerned and curious, and the younger hero took his knife-like elbow and made him walk until they were thoroughly out of sight. He debated what he was going to do right up until they reached his own street, which was uncomfortably close. "You go ahead," Aizawa said at length, glancing over his shoulder and waving away the older hero's clear curiosity. "I'll be along. Go." The tone did it for him. Toshinori, capable of at least a modicum of subtlety, raised his feathery brows and turned, heading for his complex. He didn't even look back, which Aizawa knew was a Herculean show of restraint from the nosy man. He briefly appreciated it, then turned to his very personal problem. Taking a deep breath, Aizawa walked around the corner, already glaring. "I live here," was the first thing out of the kid's mouth, his pale eyes wide. To what? Allay any suspicions that Shinso had followed him home? Aizawa had reasoned that instantly. Mochi, a skittish white short hair, was an older outside cat who belonged to a family in the area, and Shinso wouldn't have been able to touch him like that unless he was a familiar face. And a soft hand, of course. Now, standing in front of him, sneakered feet together, the same boy that had so boldly pranked him that morning looked half terrified and half angry, like he would swing whichever way got him out of the situation. equal opportunity stressed. Again, Aizawa remembered the feeling, didn't envy him, and didn't know how to tell him that. "You practically live on campus," he said, feigning boredom. "If you're a minute late tomorrow, you have no excuse." "I'm never late," Shinso shot back, kicking at a gnarled lump of grass that had somehow found a way up through a seam in a pristine sidewalk. With that, Aizawa realized he was being pointlessly harsh and sighed, glancing back up the street to his apartment. He wasn't on any time limit. Toshinori knew the code to his apartment and could let himself in. He was probably enjoying Himawari and she him. He'd be fine. But what to do now? "You live here long?" Aizawa said at length, absolutely strung out with the effort of making even one sentence of small talk. Shinso just blinked up at him, still looking very ready to run. "Never lived anywhere else," he answered, rubbing at his neck. Then he shrugged. "We moved from Saitama Prefecture when I was 5, but that doesn't really count since I can't remember it. All the good quirk counselors were here, you know, obviously." Aizawa's mind pieced in the unexpected new information, smoothing and triangulating it into the boy sulking in front of him. His parents had provided for him in whatever way they could, it seemed. That was good. Above expected, really, considering the kinds of things he'd seen in his scant years of teaching. Parents who shunned their own kids for their quirks earned a particular place in hell, in his opinion, and he was grateful Shinso had at least been spared that torture. It was decided. He'd been putting it off, waiting to see if Shinso would take to the physical portion of their training, but a visit with his parents was long overdue. Aizawa needed to explain what he was doing with their child outside of school hours, as Shinso was still very much a minor. Aizawa would be cruelly kidding himself if he thought there wasn't a pernicious, lingering fear in their culture that gay men in a position of authority shouldn't be left alone with young men, and he wouldn't allow any room for imagination on that front. None. But there was another realization to be mined from Shinso's neighborhood, tucked away on the edge of context. Aizawa pressed, thought, and something bigger clicked into place. "It's a nice part of town," Aizawa began, easy. He tucked his dark hair behind his ear, looking over the well-kept sidewalks for any other wayward tufts of grass. There were none. Leave it to Shinso to find the only one. "I didn't know at first," he continued, "and rented sight unseen when I came to teach a few years ago. I just chose this location because UA is right down the street. Made my commute easy."
"Yeah, it's cool living here, I guess," Shinso said quietly, thrusting his hands deep in his pockets.
He scrubbed at the grass again with his foot, determinedly not looking at him. "We toured UA a few times in middle school, since it was nearby." More than the nearby convenience, the hedging, reluctant reaction confirmed it. His whole waking life, Shinso had been submerged in the lore and lure of UA. He'd probably watched kids walk down the sidewalk in their prim gray uniforms since he was in primary school. It was easy to see where the drive to join came from. Maybe he'd even convinced himself that there was no other option. It explained the single-mindedness with which he'd pursued the UA hero course, as well as why he had compromised on the general studies course instead of trying for another hero school with a less insane entrance exam. One that would have actually let him in and let him shine. Shinso didn't just want to be a hero, he wanted to be the best. Or maybe he thought the only way people would accept him as hero material was if he came from somewhere as prestigious as UA, which Aizawa hated the taste of. No one should have to rely on credentials in order to be humanized, and the honor of graduating from his alma mater hid much more misconduct than he could really forgive, especially considering the Todoroki family. "You went here too," came Shinso's voice, lilting uncertainly, and Aizawa tried not to tense. It was time for this conversation then.
Below him, looking like a cringing preteen despite his substantial height, the kid bit his lip. Did you like being a hero? It was satisfying while it lasted, Aizawa admitted, when he found his voice and the truth. Or the fractal of it that would serve that day. He cleared his throat, distantly grateful Toshinori wasn't here to read his body language or see through him as he so tended to. He brushed that thought away. Hard, but satisfying. Important. I still do hero work when I can. Midnight patrol, mostly. I followed you, as a racerhead, when I was a kid, I mean, Shinzo said, grinning for the first time since that morning. He straightened, brightening a bit. I thought it was really cool, the way you could just stop everything. Left the bad guys looking like dumbasses before you just... He pivoted and anchored one foot and punched at the air. Lips pursed, and Aizawa was slightly gratified to see that his elbow wasn't jutting out anymore. The line of his strike was solid and clean. Not nearly the same invitation to compound fractures. Good. Processing it all, Aizawa's mouth gave a wry little twitch. It must have been a while ago, considering his time undercover and teaching at UA. Those kind of videos never made it on local news, he said, amused despite himself. The fact the kid even knew his name was mildly mind-blowing. Your parents let you on the computer that young? There wasn't really any letting, Shinzo said quietly, voice carefully toneless. There was a wrenchingly distant look in his eyes, and he looked away as Aizawa looked over, creating a joint movement between them that was a little too much like a flinch, a recoiling. Aizawa frowned, struck again by how difficult the kid's life must have been. Must be still. That's when he made the decision to not look away. You could do the same. Shinzo froze, his hands tangled in front of him. Stop situations that could hurt people with just a word. Diffuse danger instead of responding to it, buying into it, and creating more. That's the advantage of our abilities, no matter how hard they are to live with. Aizawa took a deep breath, regarding him with the familiar and safe, demanding seriousness of a teacher. If you get that far. Yeah, I know, Shinzo mumbled automatic. Aizawa frowned again, unsatisfied. You've got a long way to go if you want to be a useful, reliable part of an agency or a team. You need to be able to survive without your quirk in any situation. I want to, he snapped, and shoved his hands in his pockets, angry enough that it overrode Aizawa's shock at a 15-year-old yelling at him. His posture was cornered, bristling, and Shinzo visibly struggled with himself before he grit out, I'm not just that, okay? I'm not. I don't want to be, and I'm not gonna be, as a hero. As you are now, Aizawa corrected him after a moment, quiet. You can't just wait for something to change to make everything right. You have to decide and live it every step of the way. I would if somebody would give me a chance. I'm giving you a chance, he said, loudly enough to freeze the young man where he stood again. He stared Shinzo down. Shinzo and his bitter anger, understandable and entirely too familiar, but useless, a roadblock to what he truly wanted. Until his student looked away, stunned or chagrined. And if you were putting your life on hold for the hero course, thinking you'll find more understanding with the world at large than with your classmates once you get a costume or a name, you're delusional. Aizawa continued through his teeth, an unpleasantly hot chill prickling his skin as he spoke. The feeling of crushing something helpless beneath his foot always nauseated him, regardless of the necessity. It's just a bigger sandbox out there, and adults have even more reasons to be afraid. There are more bullies, an extraordinary number of them with talk shows, who will do their damnedest to map out every way you could misuse your natural abilities to stir the pot instill doubt and make the people you should be helping fear you instead. The residential street was utterly silent, save for the distant hiss of tires on the spotless pavement and the wind in the carefully planned trees. Same species, every other street corner, no exception. Shinso was looking up at him with an open mouth, angry and shocked, like he had made the world this way and then told him about it just to fuck over every hope and dream he ever had. Aizawa sighed, but kept it in his mouth, closing his stinging eyes briefly and wishing for his eye drops, or just a distraction. He hadn't meant to drop this ugly reality on him so early, but he was also sensitive to things coming up at their own pace and in proper context. It was, apparently, time to talk about what people with quirks more nuanced than hit things super hard had to deal with. As he had. You have to be utterly rooted in your morals if you're going to do hero work. Convinced of who you are and what you do and why. Because people will take any excuse to turn on you. They will tear you down just because your existence frightens them. So you have to be self-sufficient, or at least have self-respect, self-knowledge, he intoned, trying with everything he had to keep his voice steady, not betray his own anger. As old as he was, almost to the minute, and never quite dormant. Otherwise, you'll start to believe the things they say about you. But all I want to do is help, Shinso protested hoarsely, arms locking across his chest. His anger was fading into something like fear, word by word, and Aizawa hated the way it leached the pugnacious shine from his eyes. To be a hero, a good one. I know, he said with a nod. Give him that, even as it slid a knife into his heart with how little difference it made. But that's only one half of the equation, kid. If you dare put yourself out there to try to do something good, put yourself in danger for the benefit of others, whether through genuine concern or simple self-aggrandizing vindictiveness, people lesser than you will attack you. They'll watch and wait until you make a mistake, even a tiny one, and demand that you be taken out of the field. People who have never put their lives on the line or even done a brave thing, who hid in the standard of mediocrity and the majority of their existence, will tell you that you are unfit to fight for them. Those who had never shed blood usually had the most to say about who was worthy to, and it never failed to enrage Aizawa. But such was life, and it was life. Fear and prejudice and social standards that fucked the kid over so far. Life was what they were going to have to deal with, to get into this and through it. Also, Shinso could earnestly serve a people who could never unequivocally trust him just because of who he was and what he could do. A people who would probably never see how deep his desire to help ran, how pure his goddamn heart. Aizawa knew the friction in that. He knew it every damn day, in every way, while pros like All Might were never feared for the simple strength that could end every one of them with the crack of a wrist. It was sick, willfully ignorant, spiteful. Dehumanizing and irrational, he thought, yes, but also not All Might's fault. As a symbol, as the man who smiled at Shinso across the UA garden, All Might served his own purpose, and Aizawa was coming to respect that. Slowly. Having the man currently waiting for him in his apartment had solidified that bit of growth, and Aizawa remembered that there were things to hope for and look forward to, even for people as fucked up as him. With a life, he willfully corrected himself for the 1,000th time. As fucked up as his had been. The homeroom teacher shook his head, chest bitterly tight with everything he was holding in and away. Those are the facts, and you have to live with them, Shinso. Fight it while realizing there's no real winning. In addition to the physical danger you'll face every day. Aizawa finished, unconsciously tugging his capture weapon, his camouflage and shield, the one thing about him that was socially acceptable, tighter around his shoulders. For people like us, it's not easy to be a hero. It's not glorious. It's hard. And you have to want it 1,000 times more than anyone else, or you just won't make the cut. Wordless, Shinzo stared down the sidewalk beneath their feet, cheeks ruddy from embarrassment or anger, and eyes as empty as those he ensnared with his quirk. Abruptly back in his body again, Aizawa let out a breath he didn't know he had been holding. His skin ran bitterly cold. Shit, that was a lot. He probably should have spaced out that little nuclear bomb of truth over the course of a few weeks. But fine, if the kid decided to drop out now, it was best in the long run. Best thing overall, maybe, for him and his quality of life. But as they stood there, staring down the ugly reality of their unique position, Aizawa knew something else was needed to bridge the gap between the boy in front of him and the world of heroes that he had spent his entire life reaching for. It couldn't die in just a moment. More importantly, it wouldn't. "If it helps, I think you can do it," he mumbled, looking up and scratching under his eye. "I think you're already doing it. It's a process. I know I'm not done with it, but I'm here to help you. That's my job." More silence. It stretched on so long without interruption that Aizawa had begun to think he should just walk away and curtail any further damage. When the kid stirred and rallied, bawling his fists. "Thank you, Sensei," Shinzo said under his breath, a slight stutter to the title. He was clearly concentrating very hard on his next words, and Aizawa waited for them with the necessary respect. "Thanks for taking a chance on me. You didn't have to, and I know you have a lot of stuff to do with your class. So I know I'm just a Gen Studies, but you're not just anything. You're you," Aizawa said firmly, cutting him off. "Don't buy into others' judgments or arbitrary groupings. Just focus on what you want to do. Find your pride there, and no one will be able to shake you." Shinzo nodded, taking it in. Hopefully, if he hadn't boxed the kid's ears too hard already, that is. "Aizawa-sensei, our quirks are... I mean, they're kind of similar, aren't they?"
"They're subtractive, if that's what you mean," Aizawa allowed, shrugging somewhat. "We take things away from others. There's nothing inherently wrong with that, but it makes people uncomfortable."
It was a simple question with a simple answer, but the silence still vibrated between them. Shinzo was biting his lip and fidgeting, so Aizawa looked over.
"What's your question?" he asked.
"Did you have friends when you were a kid?" In Shinzo's round face was all the fear, all the isolation that Aizawa had ever drowned in. The way he said friends like it was a concept, not a staple. Foreign and belonging to a different class of people. A less dangerous, worthier class of people. Aizawa thinned his lips, feeling the acrid dread finally punch through the emotional dam he'd managed to hold up so far. Too far. A mile too fucking far. "A conversation for another time," he said into the coarse coils of his capture weapon, not knowing if he meant it. Shinzo nodded hurriedly, retreating back into his slouch. Aizawa gestured and purposefully turned away towards his street.
"I'm headed home for dinner. You should too. Your parents are probably wondering where you are."
He saw Shinzo nod again out of the corner of his eye. But of course, Aizawa couldn't count on this particular boy not jockeying for the last word. That just wouldn't be Shinzo.
"You and Yagi-san having a nice dinner tonight?"
Aizawa glared over his shoulder, piercing.
"Not a word," he intoned, subtle as an ice pick.
Shinzo mimed, zipping his lips, and then chuckled down at his feet,
scuffing his sneakers on the concrete again. It was good to see it, even if the circumstances were essentially mortifying. Aizawa nodded at him, then immediately rolled his eyes as hard as humanly possible when he turned away, biting his cheek.
His fucking luck.
Have fun, Shinso snorted after him, indulgent.
The last word. Always.
It was all he had, probably, for years and years. Aizawa brushed the thought aside with the last of his strength and made himself walk.
Go eat. You'll need your energy.
For when I beat your head in tomorrow, he added mentally, straining to get some distance between them mentally as well as physically.
You uppity pint-sized asshole. Fuck you.
Yes, sir, Aizawa-sensei. There were no footsteps trailing away down the street, so Aizawa had to endure the knowledge that Shinso was watching him walk away, probably with a stupid, hopeful smile on his face. Better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick, he guessed. He turned the corner as quickly as he could. As though in a daze, Aizawa walked up to his complex, up the stairs, and paused outside his closed door. Stopped. Breathed. His head swam, tangling with the last of that torturous exchange, and some unspecified emotions. He knew he'd eventually have to categorize and deal with, but not now. Definitely not today. He was allowed to say that. If Aizawa was honest, he didn't want to think about much of anything for the next few hours, which was a perfect excuse to focus on his plans for destroying the oblivious man waiting in his apartment. With that in mind, Aizawa opened the door, walked in, and towed off his boots. He willed his body to go slack and casual as he did so, like he'd run off to attend to a stray cat instead of a terrifying pubescent echo of himself with way too many questions. As expected, Toshinori was seated on his couch in that obnoxiously formal way he had, knees together, back straight, like he couldn't relax while alone, even if somebody paid him to. There was a steaming cup of tea on his lap, which Himawari clearly resented, as she was trying to fit herself around it and under Toshinori's big hands. Toshinori obliged her with doting pets, and she became a kind of spoiled impromptu drink cozy, wrapped around the mug. She was getting bigger, Aizawa noted, and her scrappy stub of a tail had lengthened enough that it had some genuine swing to it as she switched it back and forth, curled up in Toshinori's lap in absolute bliss. Tearing himself away from his Hime and the horribly cute picture they made, Aizawa walked into his kitchen without a word. Toshinori obviously wanted to ask, darkened eyes flicking this way and that. So instead, Aizawa preempted him. I'm feeling good today, he said loudly, clattering around and gathering what he needed for coffee. Really? Toshinori looked surprised at such an explicit, sudden statement of his health and well-being, but obviously wasn't about to question it. He grinned, bright as a fucking sunflower. So wonderfully, reliably distractible. That's great to hear. Very stable, very healthy, Aizawa continued as he filled the kettle, not exactly waiting for Toshinori to take a deep gulp of his tea, but finding the timing somehow gloriously inevitable as he finished. Definitely feeling good enough to give some high-quality head. Toshinori spat tea everywhere. Aizawa grinned at the wall. He couldn't help it. Mostly because he didn't give a shit about his carpet. Not anymore, since Toshinori had come around and his safety deposit was practically forfeit. What with all the rainwater and spilled tea and the other, more enjoyable stains. Then Toshinori started coughing, whacking at his sternum and chasing Himawari out of his lap with the deep, racking sounds alone. And he felt a little bad. Hey, deep breaths, he reminded him, not unkindly. He walked over, and Toshinori waved him away, a hand over his mouth. Himawari was insistently pawing at his elbow from the safety of the nearby cushion. Claws out. So Aizawa scooped her up, thinking her as nosy as the man she was bugging. Toshinori eventually recovered, clearing his throat in gruff staccato, and the silence stretched on long enough that Aizawa couldn't let it sit. "Well?" he prompted, as he pet Himawari a little too quickly, somewhat resenting his own impatience, or the situation that intensified it. "Oh," Toshinori said immediately, looking at the ceiling. Does this have something to do with last weekend?" Aizawa frowned. Why did the man have to religiously justify and contextualize everything? Couldn't he have just woken up this morning with a craving? "It has everything to do with what I want," he said shortly. He fought not to curl his lip or be visibly annoyed. "But yes, last weekend got me thinking. I'm guessing that bothers you." "It's just a little sudden," Toshinori admitted at length, rubbing his neck. "It was so serious then, and I still don't want any sense of obligation. And I thought we were going to grade tonight." "Are you going to be able to, now?" he asked with a smirk. Toshinori looked vaguely miserable and alarmed, and maybe realizing that his body had other plans. He pulled his mug of tea a little further into his lap, looking aside. Aizawa took the opportunity to sit opposite him on the coffee table and swaddled Himawari on her back like a baby. She immediately squirmed and tried to bat at his hair, but Aizawa put on a serious face despite the adorable distraction. "Look, Toshinori, I'm gonna level with you. As a strategist, I'm bound only by facts, and I know I'm very good at three things." He raised three fingers, counting them off. Himawari helped, batting them down in no particular order as he shrugged her away. "Pro-level qualifications are as follows. Rational analysis, sneak attacks, and giving head." "Also teaching? You're very good at teaching," Toshinori said hoarsely, automatically, blue-black eyes wide and completely elsewhere. Aizawa paused. He considered the obvious bit of deadpan humor. "Why are you bringing the kids into this?" But knew immediately that would be the one thing that would make Toshinori stand and walk out. And he didn't want that. Unlike Mike, he wasn't willing to disrupt or end a positive situation for the sake of a joke. But that had a lot more to do with how they sought affirmation. So instead, he was honest. "Teaching doesn't calm me down. That said, you need to know that I use sex to come down, especially after episodes of insomnia or depression. It's a hard, clean reset for my mind and body, and nothing I do out of obligation," he said, calm and businesslike. "I take pride in my work, and I'm highly fucking into the idea of doing that work on you." Toshinori looked like he didn't have the slightest idea of what to say to that, which Aizawa had to admit followed trend. Of the maybe three people that he'd informed of his particular coping strategy, none had any response outside of blank staring. It felt like rejection, of course, or even disgust, but Aizawa had long learned that you couldn't expect anyone to understand something immediately, just because you were able to put it in certain terms. He forged ahead. "Are you okay knowing that?" he asked, as neutrally as he could. Yes, Toshinori stuttered with surprising readiness. He blushed heartily, fingertips dancing across his knees before he reached out, across the space between them, and pawed through Himawari's tummy fluff and tangled with her immediate attempts to gnaw on him. Happy to, help. Usually, I just worry, Aizawa subbed in, knowing the older hero's tone. He tried not to think about how that touched him, or if it touched him, the parts of him that could feel such things were buried deep right now, which absolutely failed to explain the skip of his heart. A glitch, maybe. A glitch that felt suspiciously like yellow confetti, especially with the way Toshinori was still self-consciously petting the cat in his arms. Especially with how Himawari came to him. Here they were again. Aizawa on the table and Toshinori on the couch. He cleared his throat, focusing. I'm less stressed than I was last week for multiple reasons, and I am in full control of my faculties, and I've slept since yesterday, so... So, Toshinori croaked. So I want to suck your dick, and I want to do it as soon as possible, he said, wondering if he would have to draw the other man a diagram. God fucking damn. Aizawa exhaled and tried not to let it be a sigh. It was sort of a sigh, but he was also painfully aware of how he was potentially telegraphing his irritation. He just wanted to scream at the man to let him blow him, not quite sure when the situation had shifted from Toshinori getting head to him giving it, and how, but he needed it. A lot. Right fucking now. Are you up for it? He asked at length, jostling Hime higher in his arms, and effectively dislodging Toshinori's hand in the process. One last try, and then he would leave it alone. Consent and all. Oh, yes. Toshinori coughed a bit, straightening. He laced his hands over his lap. Yes, I would like that. Whenever you... Already, yes, literally. Quite literally. Aizawa breathed out in a rush. Good. Finally. Then he had to think. This had all started out with him indulging an ill-adapted, sex-starved hermit. How had it gotten so difficult to make the man drop his pants? He ignored the obvious answer. Feelings. Unsolicited, ill-timed, inconvenient feelings. The exact kind of thing they had banned with explicit intent. But then, maybe these kind of feelings were a necessary evil considering their non-traditional range of activities. They were just taking the necessary precautions to ensure a good experience for both sides. Maybe. At least Toshinori wasn't having any illusions about taking him out to overpriced dinners, he thought. At least they'd made sure of that. Good. Then we can grade, Aizawa promised, like it was the reward for surviving one of his blowjobs. Toshinori blushed even harder, making a sound somewhere between a hum and a gulp and plucking at his tie. There was only one more thing to consider. Aizawa gave the little demon in his arms a look, and Hime returned it with a challenging lift of her golden head that said there was no way in hell she was going to leave them alone for more than a second. He rolled his eyes, stood, and bundled her off to the bedroom, not even apologizing. A little isolation wouldn't kill her. At least he was leaving her in the cozy, clothes-littered haven of his bedroom, and not in the bathroom, as someone had suggested. The minute he came back into the living room, Toshinori rose, but he pointed back at the couch. Sit down, he said firmly. The tiny smile on the older hero's face told him his commanding tone didn't go unappreciated. Toshinori sat, posture ridiculously closed. Aizawa opened it for him, a firm hand going down on his knees and moving the man's long legs apart. In doing so, he shoved the coffee table back a bit and out of the way. Down to business. If you want to get your hands in my hair, that's fine. Pulling is more than fine. You can guide, but don't push, he said strictly, settling between Toshinori's knees and tying up his hair. I do not, nor will I ever, deep throat, as a matter of integrity. Considering it was a basic negotiation of terms, Aizawa was not expecting the reaction he got. Above him, the older hero looked utterly stricken, and was staring at him with dark eyes wide, mouth open. Coming from a man with a -0 sense of entitlement, it was an odd reaction to being told he couldn't choke someone with his cock. So something clearly wasn't clicking. You, Aizawa narrowed his eyes, disbelieving. You do know what deep throat... Yes, Toshinori grit out, sounding mortified. And Aizawa had to bite his cheek to keep from guffawing, briefly ducking his head to get his shit together. Yeah, definitely just learned a new word. Shit, where had this man been for the last 10 years? Also, teaching really was his life's natural passion. He was pretty good at it. Maybe he should consider expanding his 3 skills to 4. I would never... Toshinori was saying thickly, shaking his head in clear distress, scraggly bangs flopping this way and that.
I'm just saying, I could see how it would happen accidentally. With you. Aizawa began, trying not to smile and failing. He pointed. With that. Toshinori put a hand over his red face and simply sat for a moment, clearly embarrassed to the point of death. Aizawa told himself to quit while he was ahead, that the consent to this act could easily be rescinded. But the lure to poke and prod was just too tempting. Almost as good as Toshinori's reactions. It was helping to ease the bitter rift in his chest, at least. To just be safe and comfortable with this man. As fuck buddies went, he'd really hit the jackpot with Yagi Toshinori. When he could get him horizontal. Who would have thought? Dear God, Toshinori eked out after a moment, teeth clenched. No more talking? Aizawa prompted, as close to gleeful as he ever got. Please, Toshinori nearly yelled through his fingers, eyes shut, and looking thoroughly ready to curl into a ball to protect himself and his dignity and his endowments. Aizawa put both hands on the older hero's knees and petted through the fabric of his awful yellow suit, just in case he was thinking about it. You'll be pleading with me, he thought smugly, glancing the gangly man up and down. He was going to destroy this dork. Part of it was the power play, and the utter clarity of who was in control while he was sucking them off. Another part of it was him feeling a little vindictive, or maybe just proud of his skills, and proud of feeling good and stable enough to use them for fun. Aizawa honestly wanted to jump right in, but seeing him sitting there, so ill at ease, it seemed crass, somehow, to just shuck his pants and go for it. Toshinori needed a little practical romancing, or just foreplay, to avoid a heart attack. Aizawa started out by reaching up and pulling him down by his tie, mouthing gently at his cheek and chin and opening Toshinori's chapped lips with a press of his own, coaxing. A little kissing usually did the job to get him happy excited, not nervous excited. Toshinori bent and deepened the kiss immediately, his big hands drifting to hold Aizawa's ass and waist, kneading at his jumpsuit, nudging him closer. Aizawa tugged a little more, and Toshinori bent a little more, sighing into his mouth. He was pliant and sweet, responding instantly to the simple use of guiding physical force, in a way that warmed the younger hero parked between his knees. All over again, it quietly thrilled him to think of such a huge man bowing to such a sharp tug on his thigh, so generous in his submission. At this point, Aizawa really should have realized that, so much more than needing an outlet for his control issues and struggles with self-worth and overbearing legacy, Toshinori was a shameless fucking bottom and always would be. And maybe Aizawa should temper his expectations for getting recklessly dicked by All Might in the near future. Such realizations were still miles away, however, and those miles would be enjoyable in their own right. For now, the younger hero just smirked into the shifting pressure of the kiss as he tugged again, and Toshinori moaned so faintly against his mouth, long fingers twitching on his back like he was in a dream. Only when the older hero was radiating looseness and bliss did Aizawa skim his fingertips along the inside of his leg and cup his palm around the hot tent in the other man's trousers, pressing, asking. Toshinori shuddered and broke their kiss, allowing Aizawa to skillfully loosen his huge belt and unzip his pants with minimal amount of fuss or noise. Behind them, the kettle shut off with a muffled click. He was expecting Toshinori, considering his intrinsic shyness, to simply sit back and go along with it all as soon as air hit skin, but was surprised by the warm hand that came to cup his face as soon as he had finessed the older hero's erection free from his pants. Aizawa looked up, one hand on Toshinori's cock, and found his co-teacher regarding him intently with his blue-black eyes as he dragged his fingertips gently down the line of his jaw, petting and looking and feeling. The light touch sent unexpected tingles down his neck, Aizawa held his peace and his breath, wondering, vaguely curious, until Toshinori's thumb slowly traced against his bottom lip. Then Aizawa opened his mouth and caught the very tip of the older hero's thumb in his teeth, flicking it with his tongue and tasting salt on the rough skin. It was a challenge of sorts, not to look away, to test the mettle of Toshinori's want or how comfortable he was becoming with the physicality of their arrangement. Toshinori bravely obliged him, a flush across his high cheekbones, but still watching him to see what he would do, as if Aizawa's mouth around his finger was infinitely more important than the hand toying with his thick cock. So Aizawa decided to give him a show. He turned his head a little and, silky slow, slid his tongue under the pad of Toshinori's thumb and followed it with his mouth, languidly sucking down the length of the digit without ever once looking away from the older hero's wide, dark eyes. The heat behind his ears made him well aware how much it was doing for him, personally. But the real reward came when he released Toshinori with a faint popping noise, and the older man immediately twitched in a passion, breath catching. "Fuck," Toshinori whispered, short and hollow, like he'd been punched in the gut. Aizawa looked up at him, placing his cheek back in the curve of the older hero's hand. It was very warm. He pulled gently at Toshinori's straining cock as he did so, fingers wandering over the wet tip and catching, smearing. "Do you always curse in English when you're excited?" he asked, tilting his head to plant an absent kiss on the inside of the man's palm.
"I try not to curse,"
the older hero said hoarsely, throat clearly not cooperating. Aizawa smirked, feeling his own arrogance dagger out of lidded eyes.
"Yeah, good luck with that."
He brushed his lips over the tough skin, tongue out, immensely gratified when Toshinori shuddered and shut his eyes. Trained now.
"Tell me when you're about to come."
He spread Toshinori's legs a little further for good measure, for once grateful of the seemingly limitless give of the man's oversized clothing. The older hero's hand dropped from his face, pawing at a stray strand of hair on the way. Toshinori clearly tried his best to settle back and relax as Aizawa made no move to conceal or hurry his appreciation of his current task or the subject of it. He handled and gripped the rigid length of him for a moment, before leaning forward and slipping the head of Toshinori's pinkened cock into his mouth, skillfully swirling his tongue. Immediately, Toshinori clapped a hand over his own mouth. Shaking fingers found their way into the tangle of Aizawa's half-up hair as he pushed his mouth down over the older hero's cock, sucking slowly. The fingers in his hair gripped close to the scalp, tugging, and shivers poured down the younger hero's hot neck. Aizawa's eyes fluttered shut, his own dick already horribly hard against his leg in his jumpsuit. When Toshinori heard the light metallic zip of the younger hero's jumpsuit coming undone, he jolted and looked down, stunned, like there was suddenly entirely too much going on. Aizawa continued sucking cock as if nothing in particular was happening, relishing the girth of it pushing against his tongue with every pass, the way it forced his lips wide. Underneath, he stroked himself with light passes of his hand, just enough to tease and mix with the satisfying rhythm of giving head. He knew enough about how Toshinori worked. It wasn't that he wouldn't mind. It was that the idea of someone getting off from pleasuring him would make him lose his fucking mind. Even now, he was locking up with impressive speed, struggling to balance his hand in Aizawa's hair, the hand on his mouth, the tongue sliding over his cock, and the easy rhythm of Aizawa's own hand in his jumpsuit. Then, using the grip he had on his hair, Toshinori pulled him back just enough to free his shaft from his open mouth and held him there, kneeling, spit dripping down his chin. Aizawa grinned wolfishly and licked at him, his own hand pumping at his cock and heightening the swirl of pleasure in his gut. Unfazed, Toshinori looked down at all of him, all at once, scalding greed and need painted in every harsh feature, with his eyes burning dangerous blue.
"Do you want to stop?"
Aizawa asked thickly, through a devilish grin, and the way Toshinori pulled him back onto his cock again, yanking on his hair just a bit, was just the answer he wanted. It wasn't all that much, lengthwise, but Aizawa moaned into the little bit of harshness, gladly taking as much of him as he could, and rewarding the older man's daring and desire with doubled effort, even going so far as to stop jacking himself off on the job, working at his huge cock in earnest, sucking and pulling with his mouth and hand. It wasn't long before Toshinori began to shake and shiver, control eroding in the face of the younger hero's skills. His overwhelming enjoyment, low, muffled gasps and grunts, split with the occasional thin whine or curse, was all well and good. But when Toshinori began flexing and fretting and leaning over far enough that his tie was gently whacking Aizawa in the face again and again, Aizawa decided to give him a little less room to move or think. He pulled away just enough to grab the older hero's hands and tug them between his legs, around and below the tortured, sticky arc of his cock. He held Toshinori there, squeezing his thin wrists and snagged his tie again, dragging him down for a supremely sloppy kiss, then stuffed the tie into his open mouth. Toshinori immediately jolted backward with a strangled, shocked noise, recoiling as much as the hold would allow. But Aizawa leaned back on his haunches to watch for any potential discomfort, and after a moment, it was clear there was none. Just a very startled, painfully aroused man, held at the wrists and delicately gagged with his own tie. His ruddy, swollen cock too heavy to stand and dripping on his own wrinkled shirt sleeves. Flashing his co-worker and captive a superior, toothy grin, Aizawa got the fuck back to work. His head dipped and All Might shuddered violently and closed his eyes, breath scraping through his nose. His big hands and crooked fingers torqued ecstatically below, where Aizawa was working the pulsing girth of him with his free hand, pushing the man's cock into his mouth as mercilessly and rhythmically as he could. Cheeks blooming red, the older hero whimpered into the fabric, biting down anxiously and straining to stay still. It only took a little more of this kind of torture before the tie dropped from Toshinori's mouth with a strangled noise, his deep voice suddenly clear. Shota, he whispered, begging. Shota, I'm... Aizawa wouldn't hesitate to admit it. His name, said like that, made up his mind. Generous as he wasn't selfless, and he wasn't getting out of this without getting off. Aizawa pulled away and pumped his hand firmly, skin thrilling at the desperate noises daggering out of Toshinori as his dripping fingers closed over the throbbing head with every pass, squeezing him to death with every lean muscle in his body quaking. Too soon, Toshinori yelped and stiffened, jerking against his hold. Whether Aizawa's mouth stayed open out of reflex was anyone's guess, but the next second he was taking the cum shot like a champ, the hot, bitter spill gluttonously painting his tongue and chin, dripping down his bare chest, and the silky heat alone made his own cock flex and pull, desperate. The gush ended, and Aizawa slowed, head spinning. He let go of Toshinori's hands, feeling the blood rush back into his own, and distantly worried that he'd gripped too hard. The older hero immediately crumpled in half over his knife-sharp knees, gasping harshly, big hands shaking. It was done. Toshinori was done, vanquished, laid to rest, and Aizawa's tense, greedy body made it known that he had done his job and could focus on other things. Now. He took quick stock. His hand was dripping in cum, which was perfect for greasing his own painfully hard cock in the confines of his jumpsuit. Aizawa bit his lip. He was so hard. The first touch was painful. He carefully leaned back and pumped himself from base to tip, a soft, filthy curse falling from his tingling lips. The electric tension in his body was roiling, paralyzing, and it was much more a need than a thought, as he yanked the side of his suit wide enough to work his hand back and under his ass, forcing three slippery fingers in at once and biting his cheek at the fresh sense memory of Toshinori's cock stretching his mouth, spit dripping down his chin. He rolled his hips into it, closing his eyes. This man was gonna fuck him eventually. That, or he was just going to die. Mind offline under the deafening throb of arousal, Aizawa leaned into whatever fed his wants, and within a minute wasn't even stroking his cock anymore, just clenching the head as he fucked himself hard and fast on his fingers. Tugging with his fingertips, he mercilessly worked his ass until he got what he wanted, which was the illusion that there was a very large cock stretching and fucking him. His body arched, breath coming light and fast. A slip of fingers and the tension spiked, sending waves through his swollen cock. His hand was cramping, but suddenly he came, the blissful heat and tension breaking in his gut. His ass tightened on his numb hand, sticky and hot, and cum splattered down his chest from between the tangle of his fingers, hips jerking again and again as he rode it out, groaning. Aizawa only realized he was torqued into a half moon of agony when his body suddenly gave out and he whacked his head against the coffee table, panting. He hurriedly uncramped his arm from behind himself and just lay back, twitching and shaking. His vision was lopsided and refused to correct, so he shut his eyes, breathing out the static from such a long, complicated release. When he opened them, Toshinori was staring at him like he'd just witnessed a miracle. "You're amazing," he breathed, and Aizawa closed his stinging eyes because he couldn't really take that much direct sunlight right then, or strange compliments. "You're weird," he mumbled, body floating. "I can do that?" The question was disbelieving, squeezed. Reverent, almost. "May I?" Aizawa smirked, like the question was the operative can or may. What a fucking old teacher he was. And maybe Toshinori was responding to that on some level. But nope, they weren't going there. Also, how long had he been jacking himself if Toshinori had recovered this much power of speech? He thought he'd knocked the symbol of peace nonverbal for at least 15 minutes.
"Do what?" he asked, frowning. "Touch you like that. I would love to." "Unless you have a quirk I don't know about, that's not happening tonight."
Aizawa chortled, a little giddy from the sweet relief and fully ignoring the L word in any context. They weren't doing emotions. But if Toshinori wanted to get in his ass, he'd take it. Anyway, anytime.
"Next time, maybe," he drowsed, already dreaming about it, getting fucked, how great it would be. "Damn. But first, coffee."
"First, shower. Then coffee." Aizawa opened an eye strictly, like no one should have the nerve to correct him on his caffeine needs. But Toshinori just gestured wordlessly, just a bit mortified. At the hero's gone wild slip and slide of cum down the younger hero's front. Aizawa frowned down at it for a moment. When had he become such an unthinking slut? Guess it was time to throw the old suit in the wash, too. Every month, whether it needed it or not. Above him, Toshinori was mumbling that he knew how to make coffee even if he didn't drink it. And if he really wanted coffee, even though it was late, and was it really healthy for him to take such high levels of caffeine after 5 p.m.? Blah, blah, blah.
"Fine," Aizawa mumbled, every bit of him creaking as he got up from his crouch.
He winced at the pinch in his knees. He was getting too old for kneeling like that for long periods. That much was certain. And it made him remember the days when he laid under cover for hours on his tenderest of joints, barely breathing, when he was able to jump into battle at the click of a safety being released. How time and cartilage density flies.
"Aizawa-kun?"
Aizawa looked over his shoulder,
blinking slowly at the older hero as if out of a fog. Toshinori looked down at the floor, arms crossed, blocking his front, but a timid smile gracing his gaunt features.
Thank you.
Plain, no cream or sugar, Aizawa said in response, shucking his suit even as he walked to the bathroom, and hopping to unhook his feet from the stirrups. And don't burn it, and let Himawari out as soon as you're cleaned up. She's probably shredding the sheets. In the shower, Aizawa smirked to himself and shook his wet hair out, the faintest whiff of heady French lavender mixing with the hard green scent of his usual cleanser as the steam rose thick and soothing around him. Mission accomplished. He'd gotten that very particular want out of his system and ruined Toshinori for any other blowjobs in the entire world, hopefully instilling some future obedience in him now that he knew what the rewards would be. Now here he was, luxuriating in hot water and finally relaxing and gloating over the ruins of a very honorable man who was now dutifully making him coffee in his kitchen. Life was good. So good that when Toshinori dozed off towards the end of their deliciously delayed grading session, pen still in hand, Aizawa almost considered offering him a place to stay. Almost. But that wouldn't be professional, would it?